Purim right around the corner, we need to start talking about the halachos that are relevant to celebrating Purim. And as we know, at the very end of the Megillah, we are told that there are four primary mitzvahs hayom. One of them is that we have an obligation every year in commemoration of the great miracle that took place so many years ago to have a yom which is dedicated to Mishta V'Simcha. Now, what exactly are the parameters of Mishta V'Simcha? That is a very good question. But certainly we have some kind of obligation that we need to make sure that we eat food and we eat things that will make us be in a joyous and festive mood throughout the holiday of Purim. There's a fascinating Gemara in Meseches Psachim Daf Samaches Amud Beis. Listen to this story. And the Gemara there introduces us to a personality by the name of Mar Berei Deravina. Now, who was Mar Berei Deravina? The Gemara says that Mar Berei Deravina was the one who was considered to be a chassid. He was considered to be a very pious individual. Mar Berei Deravina, the Gemara parenthetically writes in Meseches Brachos, was the one who authored the Tefillah of Elokai Netzor that we say at the end of our Shemona Esrei every day that was written by Mar Berei Deravina. So the Gemara tells many great stories about the piety of Mar Berei Deravina, but here's another one. The Gemara Psachim Samaches Amud Beis. Mar Berei Deravina Kule Shata Havayasev Bita'anisa. It says that Mar Berei Deravina used to fast throughout the entire duration of the year, which is shocking. Why did Mar Berei Deravina do that? That is a big question, but the Gemara says there were three notable exceptions. Exactly as the Gemara says it, he used to fast every day of the year, which, by the way, the Balei HaTosfos, our brother there, how could it be that he fasted every day of the year? What about every Shabbos? Don't we know that we have an obligation of Shalosh Seudos on Shabbos, and has learned from the Psukim, Hayom, 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 when it outlines the man that was given in the Midbar. So this is a question that Tosfos has. What does it mean that he fasted every day, if in fact Shabbos comes every week, and generally we assume you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos? And what about on Yom Tov? That was also a question. How did he get around the fact that on Yom Tov you're supposed to have Simcha, and if you're supposed to be Mesameach, there's no way for a person to be fasting, because that is not an expression of Simcha. Either way, that is the question that is asked by all the Gedolei HaRishonim there, and they try to grapple with all kinds of very complicated suggestions and complicated answers. But the Gemara does say that he fasted every day of the year, except for 3 days, which were very important to him that he would eat. Number one, the Gemara says he would make sure to eat on Atzeres. Atzeres is Shavuos. Why? Because he said Atzeres is the day, Yom Shenitna Bo Torah, that calls for an extra special celebration. Above and beyond all the other Yom Tovim during the year, Shavuos is considered to be in a category of its own. On Atzeres, everybody agrees that you need to make sure that you celebrate in a way which is physical, which I would have said is counterintuitive. On the day when we had a spiritual, uplifting experience such as Kabbalah HaTorah, that is the day that I would have said if somebody chooses to celebrate and to highlight the great moment of Kabbalah HaTorah by sitting all day and fasting and davening and learning and being all spiritually involved, I would have said that's the time to do it. But yet the Gemara says no. Atzeres is a day that nobody is allowed to fast. Atzeres is a day everybody needs to eat. Number two, says the Gemara, he would make sure to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Why? Because we learn from the Psukim Ba'erev that you have an obligation to make sure that you fast the night of Yom Kippur as well as the following day. And the Gemara says that we have an obligation based on the Psukim there that we have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. It seems to be an integral part of the Yom Kippur experience. And therefore he said, although I fast the rest of the year, I'm not allowed to fast on Erev Yom Kippur because there's a specific instruction to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And number three, he said that on Purim he made sure that he would eat. Why? Because after all, the Torah says Purim is called Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. So this is, again, like the Gemara says, Mar Berei Deravina, who fasted every day of his life, made sure that on Purim he was going to separate himself and make sure that he would be involved in the expression of Simcha, which is the Mishta, which is the eating. And in fact, if you look in the Trumas HaDeshen, he writes, what exactly is the objective of the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? Why do we give Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu? What's the reason for that? And the Trumas HaDeshen, who is the father of Ashkenazic Jewry, writes, the reason why is very simple. Because we need to provide others with something to use by the Purim Suda. After all, that is such an integral part of the celebration of Purim, that we're going to have an opportunity to sit together and to eat And to have a festivity, if we're not going to have food to do that, we won't be able to be in the festive mood that we're supposed to be in. And therefore, it seems that this really is one of the most important objectives of the day, is to set aside time, yimei mishta v'simcha. There is an interesting discussion in contemporary Svarim. I find it to be a little bit of a strange discussion, but it's something that you find in the Sefer Mo'adim Uzmanim, which is by Rav Sternbach. It's mentioned as well in the Mishnah Halachos by Rabbi Asher Klein, and Rabbi Avad Yosef quotes us all as well as the Tzitz Eliezer. All of the contemporaries in the last 20 years write about the very same issue, which I find very surprising. There is a halacha which finds itself in almost every single mitzvah that we do throughout the year. The Shulchan Aruch quotes it by the laws of Bedikas Chametz. The Shulchan Aruch quotes it by the laws of Mikra Megillah. He quotes it once again by the laws of Neiros Chanukah. He quotes it again by the laws of Dalet Minim. By every single mitzvah that we do throughout the year, the Mechaber writes the very same halacha in basically different words, but the same general theme, and that is, when I have a mitzvah that I have an obligation to fulfill, there is a halacha that I'm not allowed to be engaged in other activity before doing that mitzvah. And primarily, the Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to eat a meal before performing your mitzvah. So say, for example, I come home on Leil Bedikas Chametz, and I had a very busy day at work, and I'm very exhausted, and I'm just going to take a few minutes to eat something before I do the Bedikah, says the Shulchan Aruch, absolutely not. Why? Because we're concerned you're going to be Shema Yimashech Achar Shulchano. Maybe you're going to become so involved in the eating, you're going to be so busy with that you're going to neglect the mitzvah that is in front of you. So the contemporary Svarim write, if you're telling me that the Shulchan Aruch writes, you're not allowed to do any mitzvah before, you're not allowed to eat before performing any mitzvah, and that applies to Neiros Chanukah, and it applies to Mikra Megillah, and it applies to Tkiyas Shofar, and it applies to everything during the year, then they say, do I have a right to eat my Sudas Purim before I engage in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? That is a very strange question, because you'll say, I have many mitzvahs that I need to do on Purim. And, by the way, Purim is a very busy day for everybody. Even if you don't have little kids running around the house who want to go to all their friends, everybody has a busy day. And on Purim, the question is, do I really need to structure my day that carefully to make sure that I do the Mishloach Manos first, get that out of the way, before I eat the Sudas Purim? It would seem to be a strange application of the halacha that we find by every other context, by every other mitzvah that we do. And this is discussed in the Sefer Ma'anim Uzmanim. And Rav Sternbach, who is a big machmir in general, but Rav Sternbach here once again comes with a chumrah that he thinks it would be usur for a person to eat the Sudas Purim before engaging in the mitzvah of giving Mishloach Manos. And that is a tremendous chiddush that is rejected by all of his contemporaries. Basically, everyone across the board thinks that he is wrong for a number of reasons. Number one, I mean, I don't think he's wrong, I'm not in the equation here, but all of his contemporaries feel very clearly that he's wrong, and they say that he is misusing the halacha that the Shulchan Aruch quotes in many other contexts. It would really not apply here. Number one, they say, because when do we say that you're not allowed to eat before doing a mitzvah? For example, Bedikas Chametz. I have a mitzvah that I need to do, which is Bedikas Chametz. I have an isser to eat meat or eat anything, sit down to a meal before I get involved in the mitzvah. Over here, I have two mitzvahs in front of me. One is the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, the other one is the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. How can you tell me you're not allowed to eat because you're eating before you do the mitzvah? This itself is a mitzvah. So it's not similar at all to the case that is described in Shulchan Aruch by every other mitzvah that we do. And there are a number of reasons that they give why they feel that this is a mistake. Number two, some of the contemporary Svarim write that maybe this is also a mistake, because if you look carefully in the Psukim, it says, how did Mordechai and Esther set up the day that we should commemorate as Purim? So they said, Laso Soshtam Yimei, how should it be? Yimei? Mishta V'Simcha. What does Mishta V'Simcha mean? It means you should sit down, you should have Mishta V'Simcha, U'mishloach Manos Ish L'Reyehu. If you just look at the structure of the pasuk, it says, sit down, have a Suda, you should be festive, you should celebrate. After that, you give Mishloach Manos. So how can you tell me that, no, the pasuk is really out of order and you're not allowed to eat before you give the Mishloach Manos? It would sound like a very far-fetched chiddush to say such a thing. And therefore, many of the contemporary Svarim reject this chiddush that Rav Sternbach suggests, and it seems to be a tremendous chiddush. In fact, it sits Eliezer, Rav Waldenberg, who is the posig of Shari Tzedek Hospital and has a very beautiful set of Sfarim called Tzitz Eliezer. He quotes from the Leket Yosher. Who was the Leket Yosher? He was the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshen. And the Leket Yosher writes the following in the name of his Rebbe, the Trumas Hadeshen, who is a very important sefer in halacha for us Ashkenazim. And he writes that Tov Lishloach Mine Michael Kodem Achila. He says it's a good idea to send over your Mishloach Manos before you eat. Kodem Achila. So what do you mean, Tov Lechol? Why does it say it's a good idea? It's usher to do it otherwise. You're not allowed to do it in the other direction, because wouldn't that be a problem of eating before performing a mitzvah. And it would seem very clearly you don't even need the Leket Yosher. Just in Svar, it would seem to be a tremendous chiddush to aser somebody from eating Sudas Purim before doing the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. It sounds like a very big chiddush and something that really is not accepted. We have a halacha which is quoted in the Gemara Meseches Moed Katan Daf Ches and Daf Tes, Ein Nosin Nashim B'moed. And that means that one is not allowed to get married on Yom Tov. And the question is, why? How come I'm not allowed to get married on Yom Tov? Forget about Purim for now. What about any other Yom Tov? And the Gemara has a number of reasons why this would be something that is objectionable. Reason number one that the Gemara gives is because Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. On Yom Tov, I'm supposed to be solely focused on the idea of Simchas Yom Tov. But when I get married, I have to be solely focused on the idea of the Simach Hesishto. I'm supposed to be making my wife happy. So how am I going to keep all of this in my head? If I'm going to be busy taking care of my wife and making sure that she's happy, how am I going to also be able to focus on the aspect of Simchas Yom Tov? And therefore the Gemara says in Moed Katan that one is not allowed to get married on Yom Tov because we're afraid that that is going to infringe on the Simcha that one is supposed to have because of the Yom Tov. The Bavli and the Yerushalmi have a dispute. What exactly is the source of the halacha, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha? The Yerushalmi writes the source is because we know by Yaakov Avinu, it says, Male Shavu Azos. Yaakov Avinu says, after he realizes that there was some kind of ploy, after he realizes there was some kind of trick, and he ends up with the wrong woman who he wanted to marry, so then he says, I want to marry the other one. I want to marry Rachel. I'm not going to divorce Leah, but I'm only going to marry Rachel after a week passes since my marriage to Leah. Why does he have to wait a week? The answer is because Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. That is the way the Yerushalmi learns it. The Bavli learns it from the fact that we know Shlomo HaMelech, when it came time for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, when it was all over, Shlomo HaMelech was so excited he decided to make a celebration. But we're told that he made sure, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, he made sure to bifurcate one Simcha from another Simcha, and he did not mix them. And from here the Gemara learns the halacha of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. So the Gemara says, because of that principle, a boy is not allowed to get married to a girl on Yom Tov because we're concerned, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. What about getting engaged? What about getting engaged? So the Shulchan Aruch very surprisingly quotes the Gemara that one would be allowed to get engaged on Chol HaMoed or Yom Tov. Why? Because the Gemara says you have to be concerned, Shema Yikadmenu Acher Barachamim, which is a tremendous chiddush. And the Gemara basically says that you have to be concerned. Maybe one of your friends was on a date last night and he saw you in the restaurant and he had his eyes on that girl and he wants to marry her and he realizes he's running out of time. You're about to get engaged. You were holding the ring. You were showing it to her and he's nervous. And the only reason you're not getting engaged is because it's Yom Tov now. You would have gotten engaged. You're ready to get engaged. You're just waiting because of Yom Tov. Maybe over Yom Tov he's going to go to shul and he's going to daven with kavana that God should take away that person from you and give it to him. And therefore you have to be concerned. So you better lock it in as soon as possible. Shema yikadmenu acher berachamim. That's what the Gemara says. Maybe you have to be concerned that he is going to successfully steal the shidduch away from you, whatever that means. But the Gemara says, since that's a concern, therefore you're allowed to get engaged on Chol HaMoed, and you're not allowed to get married because of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. And the Shaila that is raised by the Gedolei HaRishonim, the Kolbo, and the Rashba, and the Tshuva, the Ramah quotes all of this in Shulchan Aruch, would I be allowed to get married on Purim? And the question is, when the Gemara says, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, and that applies to every Yom Tov, does that also apply to Purim? After all, Purim is only a holiday which is Midrabanan. It is not on the same level as the Shalosh Regalim. On the other hand, we have a Chiyuv Simcha. Lasos Oshtam Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. We're supposed to celebrate on Purim, and that means if I have to focus my attention on the Simchas Purim, how can I now have enough space in my head to think also about V'Simach Esishto, about getting married? And that is the Shaila that is raised by the Rashba, as well as the Kolbo and other Rishonim. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Psak Lahalachan Simen Tav Reish Tzadi Dalid, that Mutter Lisa Isha Bepurim, that one would be allowed to get married on Purim. The Magen Avram takes issue with that, and he's not happy about the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch at all. And he says, if you look through the original Sugya and Moed Katan, it seems that the reason not to get married on Yom Tov is not only because of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, there are a list of other reasons as well, and some of those may apply here. And therefore the Magen Avram says, I would not suggest doing so. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avram Lahalacha. He says, if you want to have a wedding on Purim, you should at least have the chuppah before Purim on Tainus Esther, and then you're going to have the celebration on Purim itself. Maybe that's a way to get around it. Either way, very interestingly, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach got married on Purim. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach got married on Purim. And it's printed in the Sefer Halicha Shlomo what Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach spoke about at his own wedding. And this is what he focused on. The whole shtickle Torah that he said at his wedding was, is one even allowed to get married on Purim, or is that a violation of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha? And he said a tremendous chiddush. It's true that normally we assume Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, but what is the reason? Rabbi Shlomo Zalman explained the reason why is because if I'm going to have my attention on getting married, I'm not going to be able to have my attention on the Simcha of the Yomtiv. However, said Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, when it comes to Purim, what is the ultimate Simcha that I'm supposed to have? Ad lo yada bein Aror Haman leBaruch Mordechai. On Purim, I'm supposed to have so much simcha that I get so carried away that I'm not focused anymore on what it is that the Yom Tov is about. And therefore, he said, if that's really the pinnacle of simcha, if that's the apex of where I'm supposed to be on Purim, then how can you say my mind is going to be away worrying about my wife, worrying about getting married, if after all, I'm not even worrying about anything else? I don't even know Aror Haman Baruch Mordechai. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, maybe that's why getting married on Purim is something that is permissible, whereas on every other Yom Tov, we may not allow it. Again, it's a very big chiddush. It's probably not the simple understanding, but it's very interesting that Rav Shlomo Zalman himself seems to have gotten married on Purim, and he justified the practice based on the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, and he rejected the problem that the Magen Avraham has with it, and he defended why it is that, in his opinion, he felt it would be something that would be permissible, although we would not allow it on any of the other Yom Tovim throughout the year.